3:10, March 9th? 8th. 10th. 2017, Mr. Ed Cernick Sr. at Cernick Towing. So my first question is, what were you doing the day before the flood?
Day before the flood, we were getting prepared with the, we had a gas station and everything else here. That's where I started off business. And it seemed like a normal day that I was building on my gas station and garage and stuff. And it was just a normal day until that evening. And when that evening hit, it's just devastating. Buildings went and everything up. And Laurel Run Dam up here. It was an earthen dam, earthen breast. And at that time, I can't blame anybody, but at that time, the caretaker of the dam, somebody should have been notified to turn the valves, try the valves, to open the valves up. But the caretaker, when after that rain was wrecked real hard and everything else, and the water was rushing over the dam, he went up there and tried to turn the valves, and they were frozen. So when that valve was frozen, the water came up over top of the earthen dam, earthen breast. Mm-hmm. And there was no concrete or nothing there. It was just dirt. Mm-hmm. And it eroded. And as it eroded, it started up in what they call a Laurel Run Dam. And as it eroded, it kept more and more turbulent water going down. And we tried to warn everybody as the water was coming, but it was so fast and so devastating that it came down through Tamaryville here. And the water came down the creek so high that it was taking one home after another home, okay? And as the water was going, it's a row of houses like this. The creek was on this side here. And as it was, the water was coming down, it was taking one house out, and the people from the top house was moving down because there was a vacuum there between the houses. Water was going both sides of the houses. So they thought that they could get away from coming down through the Tamaryville there. And many of our people, they kept on going from one house to another house until it came to the final destination down here, and it just blew apart. It was very devastating. The water came from the creek on this side over here, and from the dam on that side, it tore my buildings apart here, which we had motorcycle shops and stuff here. And I can visualize it today as it was then. And people were washed away. We had more deaths here than any place in the area. I think we had 42 people died. My neighbors and friends and everybody else. Families were taken away. And it was a tough time. We came back and I got a call from a guy out here. He had a big family. Picture this. He's stuck out on the road out here. It goes up into Tamaryville. And somehow he called, I don't know how he called down. Somebody said he was stuck down on the road coming down there. So he called for help. So me and my sons went out there to get him out of there and got him up over the hill. He was okay. Got him up over the bank. And we came back down here. By that time, our motorcycle shops, this is all motorcycle shops here, the area was full of water inside. And look there, and the motorcycles were floating. Can you picture that? Floating inside. You can see them in the windows, floating. And I told my sons to, one son, to open that door and hold that door to let that water out. And as we opened that door, the rush of water knocked one of my sons down on his rear end. And we started laughing. He didn't laugh because he was mad because he was knocked down. But we went in, came in the thing here, and turned the lights on, the lights came on. So we figured, hey, we're not too much damage. But when we walked back through this hallway here, back to the back, lightning was flashing and lit the whole thing up. Our walls were all gone in the back. And one thing led to another. We went out to help the ones that were stranded. And the next morning, when the daylight came, the water was still rushing away. We saw the tremendous damage of all this done. And it was, we started to open up the roads. We got a contractor out here, which the state gave him an open contract to open the roads back up so we could get people in and out. Then we decided to organize. They called it Tanneryville Flood Recovery Association. And we organized this. We had food pantries here and everything else. I gave them the building here, fixed up for food pantries so they could distribute food. And we started organizing, trying to get, we even sold flood water over here in little bottles. Flood water. It was regular muddy water, that's all. And the highways were opened up here. And Sheriff Kavanaugh, I'll never forget him. God bless his soul. He's dead and gone now. But he stopped and he said, Ed, he says, all I have is a $20 bill. I said, Sheriff, take a bottle of this flood water and we'll see you later. And we sold flood water in bottles to help. And we organized, we raised through other organizations and stuff, through Tanneryville Flood Recovery, $125,000 to give back to our people here to rebuild. And Telephone Pioneers of America from, I think from Indiana or somewhere, came in and they asked me what they could do. I said, we make a list, call the people, all the people in here, list of what they need for a rebuild. Paint, wheelbarrows, anything, shovels, anything I get. And they helped us out tremendously. Churches came in and donated, and that's how we got the $127,000. And we gave as the people we knew who had the damage and how it was, and we distributed that money. Then along came the city and everything else, and we had Tri-County Flood Recovery, and I was part of that too, because they wanted to know how we organized. Well, I helped them organize here, helped them organize in Dilltown and different places. They'd call me different places to help organize, and we helped people out that way. Then the President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, his aide called. I worked in the mill. Mills was starting to get back in order again. And the superintendent called me. He says, you're wanted on the phone. I said, who wants me on the phone now? It was Jimmy Carter's chief of staff. He said, the president would like to see you down to the White House. And I thought, oh, excuse me.
Oh, that's you.
Hello. Hello. Went down there, and the businesses need help. And went into the Oval Room. Prime Minister Begin was in the other room, and Jimmy Carter wanted me in his Oval Office. And at that time, Ron Stevenson was up here at WJAC TV. He said, you only get 5 minutes with our president. It just made it look like he shrugged us off. And I couldn't understand. We're trying to get help, and he's, but that's not here nor there. But we sit down, and he says, it's a pleasure meeting you. And I said, pleasure's all mine, Mr. President. And he said, what can we do for you? I said, we need help back in Cambria County, back in Johnstown. What kind of help? And I told him the devastation. He knew all about the devastation. What can we do to help out your people? So we got federal grant, Act 51, a $50 million bond issue bill, and things in cleanup for the city of Johnstown and stuff like that. And people were being helped all over the place. And then he sent me his picture of his family and everything else. And I was prouder than a peacock. I went to see him. I thought he was 10 foot tall when I walked in that Oval Room, because I was so impressed with the Oval Room and stuff. And since that time, we've organized different places. Every time there's a problem, I get volunteered to help out wherever it is. And right now, Governor Wolf's office, he's going to come in. He wants to come in to Johnstown, and he wants me to head this up. We had a meeting this morning, and I want to bring him in. I want to bring the Secretary of Health in to help out the community with the health care. I want to bring the Secretary of Transportation, which I am the Commissioner, the State Transportation Commissioner. And I was appointed by Governor Rendell and reappointed by the Republican governor. And I'm still traveling all over the state, trying to help them run my businesses, motorcycle business, towing business, racetrack. And it's just, it's a story that I put on tape, talking to the tape, from my great-grandchildren, so they know what happened from the 77 flood till now. And it's just, it's a tremendous story, not only of me, but of the people that went through this and helped rebuild. They wanted to rebuild. Had it been for some people, we would have had the biggest steel-making place in the country, Ispat. But the unions got involved and they said, you'll do what we tell you. They told Ispat. They said, if they would have waited till Ispat came in here, invested in money, put the mules and everything, then say, hey, like the unions always do. But they did this ahead of time. Even Jack Murtha wasn't very happy with that. So they went to Canada. They are now the biggest steel maker in the world. We would have had it here. And the story is we're going to rebuild this town. We're going to get help. And one of the council members said Johnstown's dead. I don't believe that. I believe we're just in the time, the situation of the economy and everything else, that we have to start from bottom up and hammer it and get our people back in order. Young people like you, you need jobs, whether you're going to go in education, you're going to go to college, whatever. We have to keep you here in our area, not you go from here to California or somewhere because you get a better job. We want them jobs here. So that's the biggest part of it. So if you have any questions you want to ask me, you go ahead.
Yeah, what was your biggest loss in the flood?
Biggest loss?
Mm-hmm.
I lost all my tow trucks. I lost the gas station, the garage, and everything else. And then I had to go to the government for an SBA loan. And I borrowed $300,000 to get back in business. Because at that time, I had to stay towing. My tow trucks were all gone. The gas station was gone. I was at rock bottom. But they loaned me that money. And whenever they loaned me that money, I invested. I invested it back in my garage and motorcycle industry, and that was it.
Did you expect the flood in any way with the flood-free city message going around?
No. I don't think everybody says flood-free Johnstown. During Roosevelt's time, but we had flood walls and everything else put up, everybody was happy. 1889 flood wiped out Johnstown. But the people back at that time, when Red Cross came in and Clara Barton and all those people came in to help out Johnstown, we lost a lot of people then. And we rebuilt because we had the steel mills. Countries and everybody else all across the country wanted steel. So they rebuilt the steel mills right here. They didn't take them out somewhere else and build. They did it right here. And we got to do the same thing. You know, it's going to be 40 years since the flood. 40 years. That went so fast that you never believed that would happen. But if the people don't buckle down, we're having a tremendous problem with drugs and stuff now. We go. I don't know the answer to that. How do you get to these top guys and punish them very severely, that they don't bring the drugs in? They're hiding them coming in. But they said that one airplane came in that, I still don't understand it, had these blocks of marijuana and stuff in the jet engine somehow. And how they caught that, I don't know, they're just having trouble with one engine. When they tore apart, there's all these drugs. And I don't blame the Muslims, or I don't blame any country or anything like that. But we have to stop these cartels. That's where the problem is. It's not the people. It's drug cartels that's making so much money you could fill rooms full of money. And they don't care. They don't care about you or me or anybody else. All they want is the money. And we, poor people. We just had one person out here the other night. I think he's around 30 years old. Overdosed on drugs. Right out the road out here. Mm-hmm. Half a mile out the road. And he locked himself in the bathroom in his mother's house. Overdosed. Died. They broke down the door. There he was, dead. And I emphasize that to Pence, Vice President of the United States, emphasized that to our governor, and they're working on it. But what is the answer? I don't know. But we got to think about our community here. Don't worry about somebody else. You think about your home, yourself, in our own little hometown. How we can rebuild? We need jobs. There's no jobs here. We need places. We got places to build. We have the best working force in the country here at one time. Mm-hmm. But the factories went. Now, I'm a staunch Democrat, but if Trump does what he says and gets to stop the imports, don't stop the imports, put a tariff on them. Put a tariff on them so that their product is as high or higher than our product we make in the United States. So we create factories and jobs for the United States. And I think that's what everybody says, well, he's a multi-billionaire. He don't care about this. He cares about money. I don't believe that. I want him to succeed and help our people. So that's the whole thing in a nutshell.
So how is the water in your flood or in your business? How high was the water in your business?
The water was about this high.
About 4 feet?
About 4 or 5 feet. And the morning of the flood, when a flood hit, I had a brand new Ford, brand new Ford, say.
F-150?
Yeah. And I had that was the nicest car I ever had in my life. And I had it sitting outside when the flood waters were running all over there. And the water was running, the river was going that way instead of that way. Because of the dam, the water came down from the dam, made a breast there, and pushed the water back up into Johnstown. So my wife screamed hard at me. I said, I want to save that car. I had insurance in that car. I want to save that car. It was important to me, not my business or anything. That car. I backed that car out, and as soon as I backed it out in that turbulent, I knew what I did. And I just floored it, and somehow it was like a jet propulsion with the wheels, and made it around the corner. I could have taken, if I had a baseball bat, I'd have just smashed the windows right out of that car. I mean, you don't stop to think. You want to save something, and that was it.
So what was it like 1 month after the flood?
1 month after the flood, we start recouping, and we start getting food pantries in here, because I said to go to the motorcycle shop, move that stuff out. They needed a place for food and stuff. We put it in here and distributed food. It came from all over to come down and get food and stuff. And we were getting food from all over the place. We were getting everything, drinks and everything else, to distribute it to the people. And that was a tremendous job. But we had we had women. Women that took care, took charge of that, distributing the food and stuff. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I gave them the property and everything else and let them do that.
So what was it like 10 years after the flood?
10 years after the flood, it was, well, steel mills, we knew the steel mills were going down. They said that was inevitable. And that was where I was working in the mill at that time, and I was just getting ready to retire, and I had 30 years in there, and I wanted to get out to operate my business and stuff. But it, they start coming back, build houses out here, restore the city of Johnstown, businesses and everything else, and it was good.
So was there, what was your biggest concern in the flood? Was there one outstanding concern that you can think of?
One outstanding concern that I thought of immediately was the loss of life. How do we get, because I had lots of friends in Johnstown or over here, and did we save enough people, or some of the people lost it, they're going to come back in that we don't know about? And I think we had four or five people that we never recovered, never found their bodies. And I told Congressman Murth at that time, we would like to find these bodies. And he got the helicopter, myself, Dick Merritt, the congressman, got in his helicopter, and the officers from the Army, and we flew a helicopter all along. They called it Gooseneck Island down here. I said, probably that's where these bodies are. They're washed in there. But crap, the bodies went clear down through Blairsville and stuff. And it was bad. We set up a morgue over here in a church at that time, and was bringing bodies in, put in a church. It was devastating to see these people that you knew all your life, and they were gone.
Was there anything, have you ever looked back in hindsight and thought, what could I have done to prevent this or make things better?
Well, hindsight is like I told you. We should have been better prepared. We never thought the dam would break. We never thought the valve was rusted shut, that you couldn't open the valve, and maybe that would have saved our people here. But the rain was so tremendous at that time. I forget how many inches of rain we got at that time. But once that water came over that earthen breast, it was too late.
So, did you find any interesting artifacts when you were cleaning up? Was there anything interesting that you found?
Over here, we had people that at the shell plant over here, this big manufacturing plant over here, they were digging around.
Oh, where ETC is right now?
Yeah. It's JWF.
Mm-hmm.
And people were digging around trying to find bodies. And they found a lot of artifacts that they found a box with money in it that belonged to one of the business people out here. It was a box, but it had their name on and money in it. And they lost their whole family. Mm. And they gave it to their relatives and stuff like that. But you have scavengers. Anywhere there's a disaster, you have a scavenger. They'll come in the city of Johnstown, when the floodwaters are going receding, the cops caught a couple of guys who broke into jewelry stores, and they had wristwatches on their arms. And this is a true story. They just robbed in. Anytime, like I said, there's a disaster, mm-hmm. you're going to have these.
Like in Katrina in New Orleans, there was.
And it's a shame. But they don't worry about people. They're worried about what they can fill their pockets with. But we had contractors coming in from down south. We had contractors coming, trucking outfits and contractors coming in from down south. And at that time, the mayor okayed to have them start cleaning up, rebuilding, because all our vehicles and everything else were gone. So contractors came in, they were paid by the federal government, and start cleaning up. But it took a long time to clean up all that devastation.
So, if you can name one particular person or group, who helped you the most through the flood?
I would say money-wise, the president. Without their help, the federal help coming in, and the state came in too. And without the two entities there, we could have never built ourselves up ourselves. They came in with money, and our representatives and everything else, they pushed to get this back, get SBA loans.
What's an SBA loan?
That's a small business association loan by the federal government. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you could get $100,000 at 1% interest. You could get, I think, $200,000 at 2%. I'm not sure exactly. But $300,000 was 3 5/8 interest loans. And a lot of people, they said, we need the money, but how are we going to pay it back? Okay? So they were lenient. Federal and state government were lenient with us, and a lot of, we thought at that time that there would be a forgiveness on our SBA loans and the loans from the state and federal governments. We thought there'd be a forgiveness because I forget what the flood was up northern part of the state, and they got one senator up there got all these loans and everything. And it was forgiveness. They forgave all the loans, but we didn't do that. We had to pay back the loans.
Connor, do you understand what forgiveness is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that concludes the interview.
What about, did you lose any family members?
No, I was very fortunate there. Mm-hmm. Very fortunate. Like I said, I lost a lot of friends. A lot of friends and a lot of neighbors. And
did you have flood insurance?
No, we didn't have flood insurance. But it was after that, after the horse is stolen, then you lock the barn. So we just rebuilt. But if it wasn't for the SBA loan, I could have never came back with my businesses and stuff like I did. But I got the loan. The state was after me because we had to contract with the state for the tow trucks. We had to get the loan to buy tow trucks so we could get back in business. And our franchises, Suzuki and Yamaha and places that we have franchises with, they were after us to get back in business. If you don't, the franchise would disintegrate. They'd go to somebody else. So it was the SBA loan that saved our lives, saved our business lives.
So I think that concludes it. I'd like to thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.